What did they say? From great misery comes great art. Perhaps our next guest understands that because he's worked in public radio for so long. Michael Goldfarb, former NPR correspondent, freelancer, in a recent piece for the BBC, asked why more great novels and films haven't come out of our three-year recession, the recession of this generation, unemployment at 9% in the United States, in the UK, 7.8%. Michael Goldfarb, first of all, good morning from London.
Good morning, John.
And I guess 3 years into the recession, it took John Steinbeck a few years to get the Grapes of Wrath out. Why would you expect that a narrative of this recession would already be in the making or in the works?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the question came up. I was on a long-haul flight on Emirates Airways, and Classic Films Channel was showing it, so I watched The Grapes of Wrath. And I did it hit me. It's still a very powerful film. And I looked up the production history and then the history of the book. And, you know, the question that I had was, one, it's 3.5 years into this. I think recession just doesn't begin to capture the particulars and the singularities of this moment. And what happened was I looked up and I realized, you know, for a guy like Steinbeck, who, you know, by 1935 he'd published Of Mice and Men and was well into researching and composing what would become The Grapes of Wrath, I realized that there was already an understanding of economics and so on, and a willingness to engage directly. And then I got summoned by the BBC to make a documentary, which I'm in the process of making, called Art in the Age of Austerity, meaning the first age of austerity, the Depression, around Europe. And again, you know, from the time of the crash, almost immediately you had guys in Germany like Brecht were out making movies and so on. And it did strike me as a bit odd that this far into things, I mean, I've seen some nice documentaries.
Well, we've got the Inside Job, which won the Academy Award for the Best Documentary.
Too Big to Fail,
actually opened on HBO, actually, last night.
But you see, they're dealing with the process. What no one seems to be dealing with is the human toll. One of the things, John, that continually exercises me. I mean, you just mentioned the unemployment statistic that was published, I guess, 10 days ago. It's back to 9%.
Right, right.
The headlines in the Financial Times announcing the creation of 240,000 jobs in the American economy actually played it up as good economic news, even though the U3 rate went up to 9%.
And you've got millions of people foreclosing.
And I know that U6, which is the real measure of not even the real measurement, but it's a closer measurement of unemployment. The Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes that each month. It's much closer to 15, 16 million people who are, you know, unemployed. And what I'm missing in all of this, and Inside Job is a terrific documentary, right? Is I'm missing the human story.
Part of the Steinbeck challenge was to find that human story. And in fact, he conflated a bunch of phenomena in the 1930s, which were related to the recession, but weren't actually the depression. I mean, there was the Dust Bowl, and it was the migrant worker narrative of people moving from Oklahoma to California, which I think became a kind of substitution for this national misery called the Depression. And finding that human story, which became universal, I think is a very difficult task.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it isn't if you are a writer with a political perspective, okay? One of the interesting things is, you know, a lot of fiction writing, I think, today, what we would call serious fiction writing, tends not to have a great political perspective. I find it interesting that The Wire, which you and I both know is the single greatest achievement of narrative form in this millennium, the core team of writers included David Simon, who created the show, was a journalist, and then Denny Lehane and George Pelicanos, who write what we call genre fiction. And I do find, you know, the more political writing tends to be in detective stories rather than in serious stuff. And it is hard work. You have to go out and find it. And, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, in a world where interiority, which is the key word in understanding the modern novel, I'm not sure how many people really go out, take to the roads, or want to examine what is still a phenomenon that's quite hidden. One of the interesting things,
you don't think Sorkin is a political writer?
Well, Sorkin is a political writer, and I, on the same flight that I watched The Grapes of Wrath, I should say that I watched Inside Job and The Social Network for like the fifth time.
Did you feel like Tom Joad there on Emirates Airlines there? That must have been pretty miserable for you there.
I was have to pay for the ticket. Because it goes against the narrative of, you know, being a someone who used to have a full-time job again rather late in life.
We appear to have a kind of a shaky connection there from the BBC. That's Michael Goldfarb, former NPR correspondent, freelancer, asked in the BBC about why there aren't more great novels and films that have come out yet after this three-year recession. Are you still there,
the
Michael?
Thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we did ask our listeners the exact same thing, and we've gotten some really good responses back. Paul from Ellis Island, New Jersey, texts us, "The Lattes of Displeasure, to be written by a displaced yuppie."
Sarah, or unemployed yuppie, I would
Yeah, exactly. Sarah Ivory on Twitter, well, displaced if they lost their home, yeah. "Wasn't it then we came to the end? Or maybe that was just the dot-com bust."
Now,
we've
had novels of the dot-com bust. "The Century of Want, How We Had It All, and How Our Children Said Enough Already," listener in Garden City, New Jersey. Let's listen to the voice of good old Tom Joad, who actually maybe is the best voice even of this recession today.
"I'll be all around in the dark. I'll be everywhere, wherever you can look. Wherever there's a fight so hungry people can eat, I'll be there. Wherever there's a cop beating up a guy, I'll be there. I'll be in the way guys yell when they're mad. I'll be in the way kids laugh when they're hungry and they know supper's ready. And when the people are eating the stuff they raise and living in the houses they build, I'll be there, too."
The voice of the worker, Tom Joad, the monologue at the end of The Grapes of Wrath, which was produced in 1939, 10 years after the start of the Great Depression, John Ford movie.
With Henry Fonda.
Yeah, with Henry Fonda, of course, that voice of Henry Fonda. In many ways, that's as emblematic of this recession as it is of the Depression.
Steinbeck himself said that his purpose in writing The Grapes of Wrath was, quote, "I want to put a tag of shame on the greedy bastards who are responsible for this, the Great Depression." And I think Michael's right to a certain extent that we have yet to find the fiction writer to fictionalize it in a way that is political. I think that's a good point. Give us your title of your novel about the Great Recession. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE and post on our website at thetakeaway.org, or you can post on Facebook as well. We also are, this other story, this argument, I guess, going forward about Disney's trademark of Navy SEAL Team 6.
We don't need to go there again, do we?
I think we do.
All right.
Give us
it's
a call
Disney
with
over
your
the top
take, 877-8-MY-TAKE. If you agree with me, are they over the top? You agree with John that they're not? Let us know. I'm Celeste Headlee.
American is apple pie. Disney doing SEAL Team 6, man.
Oh.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.